I'd like to call to order the Real Property Committee meeting. It's 9 a.m. Wednesday, June 5th. Acknowledge that the press and the public were duly notified of the meeting, and in attendance are council members Ward and Bell. First item on the agenda is the approval of the previous minutes meetings.
Motion to approve.
I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Citizens' comments. Given we have one citizen, this should be short, and he has no comments. Okay, moving on from citizen comments. Comments from the marina tenants. Anyone like to come forward? Another easy subject today. No comments from the marina tenants. Moving on to item 5, old business. Item 8, status of the removal replacement of the underground storage tanks at the IOP Marina.
All right, this should be quick. As you all know, the city received a temporary permit to operate the tanks after the work was completed on March 15th. That temporary permit expires June 14th, and they will issue the permanent permit to operate as soon as we pay the fees, which we received the invoice yesterday. So Donnie and I know that Donnie and the marina operator have been talking about the final inspection and scheduling the final inspection with DHEC when they're going to come in and do whatever it is that they do, testing to make sure that there's the sensors and the testing is in place. And we're trying to schedule that as soon as possible, but it won't really affect the permit to operate. We've confirmed that with Summit Engineering. So we'll process that payment today and so that we can get that final permit to operate. Other than that, the work has been complete. There's some asphalt work that was conducted starting last week and completed this week, and I believe that the only thing that's pending is the striping for the boat ramp.
Good news. Mm-hmm. Item B, update on the marina docks rehabilitation project and the status of permitting process. And we welcome Kirby Marsha once again.
Thank you. Good morning. So we've been working diligently on the permitting package for the marina outside of the tidal wave dock. We've kind of been treating that as a separate item, which we discussed with OCRM and the Corps of Engineers when we met with OCRM on site and subsequently talked to the Corps on the phone. They're fine with that. I have a draft application package nearly ready to submit to OCRM and the Corps on the remainder of the marina, which includes the plan that was developed and approved by this committee. There are a few minor items that I want to discuss today with you all and Brian. We had talked really back since 2015 when ATM did the initial condition assessment of the marina, when we were looking at the master planning process of potentially doing some improvements to the boat ramp. The boat ramp is slick, smooth concrete. It gets slippery. It's at a very shallow angle, and it has a very steep drop off at the end. Whereas that, if you launch at low tide, if you're not careful, the trailer can go off the end. So we talked about during the master planning process potentially replacing the boat ramp. It's costly to do so. So we said, no, it serves a purpose. Let's leave it alone during that process. But now that we're going through the regulatory permitting process to replace all the docks, we talked a little bit with OCRM about this when we met with them on site, and they said, well, if that's something you might contemplate doing in the future, go ahead and include it in the permit application now. It's very minor work. Talked to Brian about it. Really, essentially, it would involve replacing the existing ramp exactly in its same footprint, but at a little bit steeper angle, and using grooved concrete. So very, very, from a regulatory perspective, very minor element. There's a cost element to that, however.
Cost element to building.
To building it.
Yeah.
Now, and as we discussed before, just because you get a permit to do something doesn't mean you have to go build it, but it will give you that entitlement to do so. So we've included that in this.
Yeah, Kirby, if I may, noted, I had a conversation with Brian. Brian understands that's the marina operator's responsibility to pay for that should he choose to do so. It's strictly a permitting discussion.
Right. So I don't see that as an issue. It shouldn't cause any, raise any eyebrows with this permit process. Should be smooth. The other item is the replacement of the fuel hut out there by the fuel dock, the floating fuel hut. it's a pretty small structure now. I think, Brian, what did you say, 140 inches by 170 inches or something like that? So fairly basic structure, counter in there. Y'all have probably seen it many times. We talked about, Brian and I talked about potentially expanding that or applying to expand that structure within the framework of this permit application. Maybe adding some ADA restrooms out there over the water to augment the restroom offerings that are available at the marina. Providing a little bit more counter space for the staff, a little storage space for spill containment items and things like that. We looked at that based on some sketches that Brian and I have been kicking back and forth, and it's increased the size of the hut from what it is now. That could present a challenge from a regulatory perspective, just depending on how they view it. Sometimes they like to see you go back with exactly the same size as what you have. Restrooms will garner a little bit more scrutiny just from a quality standpoint to make sure there's no leakage and things like that, but we think it's a good idea. However, as with the boat ramp, building a larger hut out over the water would be more costly than what we contemplated previously for this work. So I wanted to bring that up and open the discussion with Brian and y'all to get some direction for us as to how you'd like us to proceed from a regulatory perspective. So that's pretty much where we are.
I mean, the only question is, any change is cost questions, not, from a permitting or regulatory. I don't have questions. I mean, and as you said, any of these 5-year permits are subject to, some modification without a lot of scrutiny.
Absolutely.
The only concern I see is that several council members have indicated a desire to replace the docks as much as possible with the existing footprint. So this would be an expansion of that. And I just want to make sure that everybody's clear that not only, increasing the size of that current location would represent increased cost. And as of right now, we're still kind of struggling to come up with the money to pay for
my point exactly
what we need to do. So I just want to keep that in mind, that the initial intent from the committee and the instructions given to ATM when developing these concepts was to replace what's needed to be
I think,
and repair
just a general comment, I don't think there's anything that precludes participation from the marina operator depending on the delta in cost. And we can have a quote that says replace in kind that looks like X, and then given the long-term nature of the lease, is it worth the additional monies and is the operator willing to pay for it? And I think, we should proceed with that thought process. It's doubtful, given the finances, that we're going to come up with additional monies to do things that's over and above replacing kind, but we'll have those conversations, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Ward, at the Ways and Means and the budget workshop.
Right.
I think Kirby needs some direction about whether or not to include an increased footprint for the fuel hut in the permit application, correct?
By what date do you need this? I know you're going to say right now.
He can't submit the permit application until...
We'll be ready in about a week to submit the permit application.
So we have a budget workshop in about a week, right, Ben?
Yep.
I mean, I'd certainly hold off until then, and
absolutely,
just let us get through the workshop and see what the temperature is for.
So wait for tomorrow.
Yeah,
I think that would be just
okay.
Do you have any drawings or any conceptual drawings that would show what it would look like compared to what's there now?
I do.
Okay.
And I can I have one with me, but I can email you that so everybody can.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have estimates of cost delta?
Yeah, I can email that to you as
okay.
well. I have something in mind, but I don't want to.
Okay.
No, that's fine. Yeah.
So what happens? So let's say, assume that City Council agrees with including that in the permit application.
Mm-hmm.
If the money's not there, we have some issues with funding or with a consensus about extending and increasing that footprint. Can we go back and modify that permit and replace the fuel hut as is?
Yes.
As much as is possible.
Very. It's easier to go down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Then to go up. One thing that does pop into my mind is that we contemplated and we're under contract to design this, and I guess now the rest of the marina facility, we didn't contemplate restrooms and mechanical systems and things like that down on the fuel hut, so there may be some additional development costs associated with that. But I can enumerate those in the email that I sent to you.
I think we'll find that we're struggling to find the money.
Do you have any update on the tidal wave water sports permitting?
I have no update on the tidal wave water sports permitting, other than the fact that I have been reaching out to the Corps of Engineers on a regular basis to try to get an update from them. They asked me for your physical mailing address last Friday to send the city a certified letter. It would not reveal the contents of that certified letter to me, but I anticipate that.
I have not yet received
it. Michael, do you care to share that, as you did before the meeting started, what the Corps has told you?
Yeah, I can't put the jet dock out front.
Yeah. It was strictly a reply on the jet dock that it can't be inside that 125-foot setback. But there was no comments around the actual structure itself, correct?
I just, the important thing to me was the jet dock, so.
Okay, so we'll wait for the letter beyond that. But
Michael, do you mind sharing that letter with me?
Not at all.
Perfect, thank you.
Yeah. That'll be helpful moving forward with that aspect.
Any questions, Jimmy?
Nope.
None here either. Thank you, Kirk.
Thank you all.
Item C, status of public safety building repairs project.
As you all know, you have received the final report from Trident Construction, which shows the necessary repairs to the building. I want to clarify, I think it was a question that was asked of the staff at the last budget workshop related to the next step of the agreement with Trident Construction. And just want to remind everybody that it was a recommendation from this committee that the city just enter into the first agreement for the investigative work that would generate the report that we've all received before moving forward with another agreement, which would be for the actual design and construction of the repairs. So as soon as the city council approves the budget for the project, which we are evaluating a couple of different alternatives, at the last budget workshop, we discussed an option about issuing a GO bond for the additional 2.2. We've gone back and drafted another scenario, which uses some fund balance to cover that difference, understanding that a lot of the, a big component of the additional $2 million is contingency funds. So we could pursue with that approach in case, worst case scenario, we have to use the $2.2 million in addition to the $4 million for repairs. We could service that with our existing fund balance, and we would keep roughly our capital projects fund balance at about $1 million, $1.5 million, which is we're comfortable with. I've shared with you some scenarios, and Debbie has been sharing some schedules with everybody ahead of the next week's budget meeting. But this would keep us away from issuing another debt issue when we're already looking at issuing debt for the drainage project. So if anybody has any questions or any feedback on that approach, the next step would be approving the budget for the project and entering into that agreement with Trident Construction. The other thing I do want to mention is it was also brought up, I think it was Councilmember Ferenz who had some concerns about who will be inspecting and conducting some random testing of the work, and we've had a meeting with Trident Construction, and they've laid out their plan for quality control, and they are envisioning hiring some third-party inspector to not only inspect and review the design when the design of the improvements is conducted and make recommendations before we go for construction, but also for the major issues associated with the envelope, with the roof. They're also planning, and that's part of the scope, and that's part of the existing expense. It doesn't cost the city anything. Have third-party inspectors perform balancing testing of the HVAC system, of the roof, of the siding. On top of that, the city has an option of hiring a third-party inspector to perform random inspections and random testing of components of the repairs. That is something that I feel comfortable with. I think the cost to do that, it's roughly in the $15,000 range, but it would certainly give the city peace of mind that on top of Trident and on top of their quality controls, there is somebody looking out for the city, not necessarily working for the contractor or the architect. To do that. That was not done in the past, and I think that may be a good use of money.
Couple points of clarity. When when the contractor hires a third party, I would view that as a third party. That's the contractor's contracted service as part of their contract. So I think just from sheer public perception, I have a difficult time calling that third party. Your other suggestion that we do it, I think we should give serious consideration to. In terms of financing, the thing I recall from the discussion, which you know, hit me a little bit hard on the numbers, was there was contingency funding by the contractor with which we then put additional contingency funding on top. I think your response of moving, in essence, cash over to offset debt was based on Councilmember Smith's request that we look at it that way, but I think we still need to be very cognizant of cash amounts we keep on hand, and as I've suggested many times, both as a citizen and a council member, when you drain these funds and 80% of your budget money is basically headcount, and you don't have those funds, then you're faced with headcount reductions. And I think everybody needs to go in with eyes open that yes, we can always move money, but we can't always find new money when we've done that. And I just want to make sure we have that conversation, because that becomes very difficult. Any comments, Jimmy?
Definitely in favor of outside third party. You know, I don't know about the middleman third party.
The not so third party.
Is it the fourth party or what is it? You know? So, but definitely we need some oversight. That is, and in my view, the root of the problem. And 10 years ago, we didn't have that proper. So yeah, I'm definitely in favor of that.
Good.
Okay. Item D, status of agreed upon procedures for all marina tenants.
I sent you all a copy of the final draft report from McKay Kitty. Yesterday I received the final report, which I will again share with you. It hasn't changed from the last report that you have seen. We'll share that with the marina tenants as well. And McKay Kitty is scheduled to make a presentation to City Council at the Ways and Means meeting on June 18th.
That's because it's January?
No, wow. Not January.
It's the other J month.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's important to note that, on my view, there wasn't any material discrepancies. Mm-hmm. In fact, the restaurant was perfect, you know, as far as the report goes. Mm-hmm. It was like no variances whatsoever. So I'm really glad we went through this procedure.
Yeah. And I'll save comments for the Ways and Means meeting, but I still think people need to focus on the intention here was to identify all source revenue of businesses being conducted at the marina and ensuring that the proper flow of that income is represented in the submissions to McKay Kitty. But again, we'll have that fuller discussion of Ways and Means.
Okay.
E. Update on the Marina Restaurant RFP process with Lee and Associates. Welcome.
We have John and Haley here, and they have shared with the city, which I in fact shared with the Real Property Committee, the draft document, what they're calling a call for offers, which is the equivalent of a request for proposals.
Call for offers, that's a new one. Morning.
Yeah, there you go. Come on, let's call. Some offers. Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having us. So we did put together kind of a formal call for offers proposal with the idea being that we'd get this out here shortly. And we've kind of put a preliminary deadline to receive offers of August 15th. In the meantime, in addition to doing this, we've actually been starting to poke around town with talking with prospective bidders and or others around town who might be able to, you know, look, I mean, we're just kind of trying to take opinions and insight from where we can get them, frankly, right? And so one thing is, and Eric DeMora with the town of Mount Pleasant's a good friend of mine. I kind of bounce this off him, and him and I are going to grab a cup of coffee here at some point. But the one thing that's not in here, and that maybe should be, or at least you guys can give me direction on what your thoughts are, is that I didn't put anything in here that the city's preference is to not spend a dollar, for lack of a better term. But when I'm thinking about that, I just want to maybe plant the seed in your mind. Is it possible that we can just go out and get traditional financing to put a significant amount of money into this deal?
So,
and I might be getting ahead of myself. I'm not suggesting we don't.
I'm going to speak to intent, and I'm going to ask Desiree to weigh in and Councilmember Ward as well. I don't think we wanted to preclude any possibilities, right? Would the city like to not spend a dollar? Absolutely.
Right.
I think when you limit the type of response, you get limited responses, right? So, you know, I would fully expect that people come in and, you know, we've had this discussion, whatever you want to call it, a land lease, some other approach. We know that's a possibility. Looking at finances, we also know that the city is very, very challenged at this point in time, right? And I think the only way you can answer whether the city would put a dollar in is looking at pro forma P&Ls over time as to what it means to the city. I wouldn't want to preclude that.
Okay.
But I think it's a very active part of a discussion as to, you know, Jimmy's eyes are wide, as are mine, where would the money come from, right? I mean, if you had a wildly successful operation that's contributing enough money to cover debt, well, maybe. I don't know.
Right. Well, I mean, that would be the idea, is that we
Jimmy?
Would be taking on debt that be
covered. Well, I appreciate your comments, but when you the sheer mention of additional debt with the stuff that we're looking at right now, we got over $10 million that we're looking at. We're just scraping and clawing trying to find for necessities.
Right.
I'm with Randy. I wouldn't preclude it, but I'm sure wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
Well, but let's just say, if I could show you that, the one thing I'm a little naive on is what is the borrowing power of the city, right? I know what a borrowing power of an investor is.
You get that from Desiree knows.
Yeah, we'd be scraping rock bottom with significant additional debt.
Well, it could be a significant debt burden to the city where we're looking at other debt issues for drainage. We're talking about a revenue bond for the docks. So it could, the only scenario that I see is a revenue bond, which would not count towards the city's debt limit, but the city still needs to have funds to service that debt.
Right.
If that scenario looks like, you know, the rent revenue would be enough to cover that.
More than, absolutely.
Right. than to cover that debt issue, and the city wouldn't have to spend any, general fund or even tourism funds, which we're already committing to other projects, then I think that we'd like to see it. I'm not sure.
But also at-risk money, right? I mean, we tend to count our chickens before they hatch. You know, well, ATAX is running 3% above year on year on year. Great until you have a storm, right? So I think there's a reticence to take on additional risk money, because I personally, and I've commented many times, don't like the dependencies on ATAX and hospitality monies that we tend to finance this city by. I think it's actually
I think this is a real estate deal. Like, I'm approaching this as a real estate deal from your perspective, right? I mean, this is, Desiree and I can talk about, she can help me meander through what I like the sound of a revenue bond. Because I really do think that this is something where we could be making money on. Right now, as I understand it, we're, you know, bringing in a decent amount of income, which I think we all understand is going to stop.
Revenue bond would go to vote, correct?
Well, it would have to be approved by council, not residents.
No. Which makes me very nervous, because we're using
same here.
Variable income.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
To pay fixed cost, mm-hmm. And the variable income by mean if we have. I was on council when you though yet. Okay, I mean I lived through it, and it was a lot of people that lived here for many, many years did not come back, and. I just shudder to think to have more debt. And that's a fixed cost. The bondholders, they don't care whether we went through a hurricane or not. But in the past, what, 2-3 years, we've had like four.
Past 5 years.
Yeah, past 5 years have near misses every year.
Right.
Every single year. Mandatory evacuations and stuff. That just that cuts down on our revenue. And we didn't have a tax revenue when Hugo hit. Anything like that. Now we do, but everybody is like, is, I think Randy's well aware of it and understands, and I know Desiree does, that that's variable revenue. Right. And we're using a lot of it now to pay fixed cost salaries and stuff. And when, as he mentioned, that's 80% of our budget. And if something happened, we'd have to pay the revenue bond, even if it got closer, even above covering the debt from the revenue there, you still have variable revenue sources that are paying for fixed costs, like salaries. And we don't want to have to lay anybody off.
Right.
So I've won, very nervous about that.
Okay, well, this is why, you know, this is the conversation I'm hoping to have.
But it doesn't have to be preclusive, right? I agree with his sentiments as well. Look, you know, somebody comes and says, we're going to pay $1 million a year for this restaurant, and we're not in the mode of worrying about ATAX money. You don't have at it, right? I mean, that's...
Okay.
Well, right. if it's $25 a square foot, which is low according to this,
yeah.
And if it stays in the same footprint at 8,000 square feet, then you know, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So.
So I'm going to leave it like it is now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything about. I'm not going to lead the.
Don't lead the herd to the answer.
I'm not going to lead the witness. But I just wanted to kind of start running that through my head and see where you're at. So I do, the one thing that's missing here is I'll put a link to the inspection report. So we have that for public knowledge as a part of this package. I don't know, do we think it's a good idea for Julia to look at this to make sure that
always we're a good idea.
So
I do want to say for the site plan, you should, you know, this area of parking is also attributed to the restaurant.
Okay.
So you may want to expand that.
Okay. So, rewinding just a hair. So before I send this out, my checklist was to meet with Jay and Brian to kind of interview them, talk to them about what they like, what they don't like, where their concerns are, all of that stuff, because I really wanted to spend some one-on-one time with them at the site. We had that scheduled on Monday. I'm embarrassed to say I overslept.
You're my best friend.
Literally, I mean, alarms were set. I mean, I was honest about it. And totally embarrassed. but it was a hell of a night's sleep. But nonetheless, we rescheduled for this morning. So after this meeting, we're going to meet and have that meeting. And because I didn't want to, because their insights and opinions are...
John, just one quick question too. You indicated an August date. That would be working off a 60-day response schedule, correct?
Roughly speaking, yeah.
You know, we've had feedback. I know I've had it from Brian. I've had other discussions with folks that 60 may not be enough for a very complex response. If we're really managing at this point to an August date, maybe the right idea is to think about a September date. It still gives us ample time within this council cycle to give good thought. I don't know your view, but I'm more concerned about the quality of response than driving it too early.
And yeah, no, I think that's a legitimate comment, and I've thought about it myself.
And by the way, most of the council will be off in August. We typically don't even have the committee meetings in August.
Perfect. Then maybe we should push it to September.
Yeah. What do you think, Jimmy?
For when the...
Yeah, I've already made plans for August, you know.
For when the proposals are due?
Yeah.
Because after the proposals are due, I'm expecting you all to need some time to go through them and make your assessments and recommendations.
So
if we extend it,
we probably need to set that and move that up on the agenda to make sure that's set, because last year we agreed not to, and then at the last minute we had a meeting in August, and I was gone.
Okay.
Now, I'll be gone again this year, but I want to make sure
we'll
that
we'll talk about that at scheduled time. That,
okay. I want to make sure that we well, get this done.
I want to make sure these things are in process.
Well,
right.
Because
yeah.
in my head, if they're due mid-August, that gives you a couple weeks before the September meeting to evaluate all of those proposals. And then in September, when we meet, we can discuss whatever we've received and...
So I'm thinking about the scenario where there's a land lease involved, right? And someone just knocks the building down and rebuilds it. 60 days is probably not enough time for that person.
So let's just, let's, Jay, sure.
Yeah, Randy, if I could just quickly comment on that regarding William Creek Grill, that, you know, the sooner into the early fall that we can have this figured out, because again, we've got to make capital improvement plans.
Understood.
For the winter. They're very critical, as you all well know, so... Hopefully,
yeah.
You know,
I'm just candid. I'm surprised that we're looking at August, right? I was anticipating it'd be later, so I'm going. You know, you have a largely inactive council that can't make a lot of decisions in August.
Yeah.
And if it's before us in September, and if we need to schedule any special meetings around this, we can do that as well.
What is the timeline then? Again, if you can. Just
well, I was. Jay, you're asking what I was getting ready to ask, frankly. So, if you have these responses in September, what would we anticipate the decision time frame to be? Is it 30 days? Is it 60 days?
Wow. Yeah. So there's two aspects to that. There's one, choosing a offer that we like, mm-hmm. right? So there's a time to kind of sort through the offers, and let's just say we get five offers. You know, is that
30 days?
You know, that's everyone on this table or whomever trying to sort through these. I'm not sure how that looks. Is that everyone at this table sort of looking through those offers and going through them in a closed-door session? Or is this me directing?
There's never a closed door when we have two members of this committee. It's in public.
We can discuss next steps.
Okay. Because then it would be the period to choose one, and then there's a period to negotiate and really... identify terms that we may or may not like, right? Mm-hmm. So that would be an additional time period that would need to be allotted.
Not hold you to it, but guesstimate. You know, from the point in time that we have submissions in to concluding all aspects of the business.
Our initial timeline had everything done by late October. Is that something?
I think that's possible.
That's possible.
I mean, I think that. Like, if we're talking about actually executing a lease, I don't know, Julia might even want to chime in there. I mean, that probably could take us a month to execute a lease.
Maybe I don't longer. Necessarily think executing a lease, but having a clear direction
Same
about
here.
What proposal the city likes and start negotiating with a
Then
with
yes,
tenant.
By October.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, look, I think we're going to know September 1st whether we're on to something or not here. Or we gotta start over again. We gotta come up with plan B.
Okay.
That's the other thing. You know, if we don't like the proposal,
Jay, I get it.
You're
pushing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that works. I get it. I've got it. Thank you.
If
there's
not one proposal that the city likes, then we have to go back to the drawing board.
Yeah, we really do.
Okay.
And that would obviously extend that.
We've already started. Like, I'm starting to whisper in people's ears, hey, go check out this inspection report,
okay.
right? And getting Jay and Brian involved. That's kind of the same idea that I'm trying to do today with them. And at least they give some people a head start, right? Because it's been out on the market, unfortunately. Like, you know, that this is, coming. So,
okay.
We haven't been sitting on our...
No, I don't think so. And I'm glad we engaged. I'm glad we've got professional help because I've said it over and over again. We're witness to the fact that the city doesn't know how to be in the real estate market. And we're going through it now with the budget.
Trying to figure it out for us. So if I just may say, you know, we're going to probably let this thing loose probably Monday.
Okay.
At this point.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's anything else you guys see that are reason for concerns or if you want to talk,
call you.
Open door.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Appreciate
comments.
It. Providing you're up.
Call me like after 10. How's that?
That's okay.
It is 9 o'clock, by the way. I made it.
Yes, sir.
So just if you can just clarify, so what does that mean on Monday? What's your intention to let it out? The RIP?
Correct. And this is something I want to talk to you about.
Oh, okay, we can do that after that. Thank you. Yeah. That's okay. Yeah, thank you.
So when you all edit this and include the correct footprint into the site plan, just send me a link and I can share that with all of council.
Okay.
And notify them that this is going to go out on Monday, and if there's any major concerns, to let me know before then.
And you put a note about the link to the inspection report?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And date and site plan.
Cool. That's all I got for now.
Okay. Thank you, John.
Good. Haley.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda, item 6, new business. Request of Tidal Wave Water Sports to provide an inventory of activities and vessels operating from the lease property and boundaries of operation per DHEC and OCRM regulations. I would, I typically do everything ad hoc. Come on up, Michael. But I'm going to kind of go through structured on why we're asking for this and walk through. So first, the council and committee in concert with the city have a responsibility to ensure public safety and welfare of residents and visitors, ensure that all tenants comply with their agreed upon lease terms, promote and ensure tenant fiscal responsibility and accountability based on the terms of the lease, and provide management oversight to these activities. The committee has been consistent in equitable treatment of all the tenants as relates to the responsibilities, and noted I have all the tenants here. Morgan Creek has been advised of necessary corrective actions, has been issued letters indicating the consequence of not complying. Brian has worked with us on behalf of Marina Outpost and Marina Joint Ventures to ensure that all of his tenants are compliant and have submitted all the appropriate paperwork. Tidal Wave Water Sports must take steps to comply to its agreed lease terms and ensure current ongoing compliance. The agreed upon lease states the parameters by which they may conduct water-based activities at the marina. A major tenet of their permit is compliance with federal, state, and local laws, rules, and regulations. No other activities are permitted by either the city of IOP, the state of South Carolina, or federal permitting authority. Those least approved activities include 16 jet skis, and duly noted that the OCRM permit, which we're working through, is not, it states 8, it doesn't state 16, and we're well aware of that. 2 runabouts no longer than 20 feet, 1 parasail boat no longer than 35 feet for tenants to use, horrible wording here, but right out of the lease, in monitoring and supervising the use of the personal watercraft or conducting water skiing and parasailing activities, and 8 parking places. OCRM DHEC established critical water boundaries, but the documentation I reviewed has dates on that from June 1995 to June 14th, 2000. So I would ask the city to look at what are the boundary parameters by which these activities can be conducted.
I can answer that for you.
Okay, please.
Okay.
Before, I'll leave you plenty of opportunity to speak, so let me, if you would, continue, and then we'll come back to these things. It also states the areas that are excluded, and I brought this up largely with Michael sitting here because of comments I've heard at public meetings that imply that this council or others are being onerous on the business in the restriction of activities. And I'm going to quote, because I went back through the audio from the council meeting, why would anyone suggest getting smaller? This is borderline cruel. We operate within our lease. We're not using extra equipment, as some have suggested. And who asked a company to do less business? You would never ask Harris Teeter to do less business. This is not a matter of asking anyone to do less business. This is asking for lease compliance, both to the terms of the city's lease and the OCRM permits by which we operate within the boundaries of what we're able to let you do on those docks. And you're right, I was out on the water this weekend, and if anyone cares to see, when I hear we're not operating 2 parasail boats, I'm on a boat behind Goat Island when a bevy of young ladies on a parasail boat come out of Goat Island, and at the same time taking a picture of parasail boats, not the boat, but the parasails operating in the ocean. That's 2 boats. That is not lease compliant, right? So this debate on what you're allowed and versus what's happening should end because we've had residents send it to us. I've seen it myself. Your lease does not allow the operation of two boats. The lease does not.
And I wasn't. I wasn't. Look on.
Well, let.
No, no. Look on Mark's Facebook page. It was his fiance's birthday. We took the extra parasail boat out to our island, and the girls were celebrating. Look on. Look. I mean, seriously. Before you accuse me of stuff, make sure you know what's going on.
Okay, before you react, I'm going to go through the balance of what I'm going to discuss in our real property committee meeting. I'll respectfully ask that you either listen and then respond. Your website indicates excursions, eco-tours, tow-behinds, all those items. They are not permitted by lease. They are not, right? So I can go to the website and I can look at the activities being offered. I've had other tenants comment on this. We have an eco-tour business operating under Brian's lease terms. We have excursions operating under those lease terms. Your permitted activities are not those activities that you're advertising. So you can argue, that's your prerogative, but what I'm gonna ask is that we look at this from a legal lease compliance basis and notify you appropriately of what you're allowed to operate there.
Got it. I mean, I know that you want to make us smaller. I know that. Everything, like this whole thing.
I want
is
to make
about,
you lease compliant.
No, no, you don't. Okay, listen. All right, I'm sick of this. Right. Right? Your little chase on us, your little this and that. I do safari tours. I've done them before you were here. Okay, that is my eco tour on jet skis. How is that not compliant? How? I mean, you're digging. You're digging, and as I will, here is from my attorney. I mean, I'm just sick of this. All right, here's from my attorney. Okay, so DHEC OCRM has only the authority on my dock to tell me what I can put there, not how much I can run or where I can run it at. I can run tours to Georgetown if I want. I can do them to Hilton Head if I want. They have no say-so at all. They don't have the legal authority whatsoever. I could actually run 50 jet skis from my dock.
Under your lease terms?
No, I'm talking about DHEC. All they say is how many I can store there. It's a commercial dock. Read it. And I'll be happy
Michael,
to
there's no argument here.
Yes, there is.
No, there's not. You are either compliant or non-compliant to your lease terms with the city. This is not about OCRM. We completely understand that OCRM does not have enforcement authority on the water. Understood.
But that's what you're saying. Under OCRM DHEC regulations, that's what's in here. That's what you're saying.
And
how are you backtracking on this?
Your lease with the city allows you to run 50 jet skis?
No, I'm talking about DHEC law.
Okay, that's fine. We're not having an argument over that. You are non-compliant.
No, I'm not.
To lease terms. And we will address this in executive session as to what you're permitted to operate and not allowed to operate. It's that simple. This is not, let's just go make you smaller. That is not the intention here. The intention is to have you compliant, as are the other tenants, and to operate businesses that are not overlapping with other lease businesses. I'm pretty sure Brian has an opinion about whether you're taking business from him or not. Right? Our job is not, it's not to make you smaller, it's not to make it onerous. I'm sure if Mr. Clark would care to comment, he's received letters from the city, not directed by this committee, that aren't particularly wonderful, saying, you know, you're going to be fined if you're not compliant to your lease terms. It's that simple.
I think right. We need legal advice. We're
exactly
way,
right.
Way out there right now. This is getting out
it's
of
not,
hand.
It's not to have an argument.
And
by the way, if a legal advice comes back and says you're fine, you're fine. It's fine.
But why now? What made you want to do this? What made you pick this? Because you saw another my boats out there? Is that why? Because you saw that boat and you took pictures
you
and
you
want to
know a very
spying
can't,
on
a very
us?
Can't spying.
Yeah, we're watching.
Yeah. Fine. All right, I'm through with that. So that stops. Let's go into executive session.
Is it on the agenda? Yep.
Yes, I know.
Yes, it is.
We have executive session to discuss matter of discipline.
Yeah.
Any action?
Well, I would ask if Michael has anything to say before we go in and talk with about him being there.
Yeah.
You know, do you have any final comments at this time?
No, but I can put my attorney on speed dial.
He's not in executive session, so that's not necessary.
I think the reason we're going to executive session is to get legal advice.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. You need a motion.
Maybe we're going to executive session to receive legal advice. Okay, so call for the question. Call in favor.
My brother's Facebook page. All right. Before you accuse me. Email.
It is 10:28. We're out of executive session. No decisions were made in executive session. So we will continue with the agenda.
Okay.
Miscellaneous business, tenant reports.
All current. What's that sound?
Next meeting date is July 3rd, 9 a.m. in the conference room. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
I didn't get that.